Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, I grew up across the road from Miss Ann Kelly. I moved in across the road from her when I was 6 years old, and I thought she was old then, and I preached her funeral 30 years later when she was 99 years old. And so into my young adult life, I have all these memories of her. And one of the memories I have of her actually is her dog, Lucy. Lucy used to follow me around. I basically lived at Miss Kelly's house during the summers, and so it followed me around. And the interesting thing about Lucy, the little Pekingese dog, about this long, about this tall, golden hair, had a tail that kind of curled up back over her back. But here's what was interesting about Lucy. You could take that tail and pull it to the side and go, "Look, Lucy." And she would chase that tail and spin like a top. I mean, I'm not talking about just go around a few times. She would go around and around as fast as you can imagine. Like, it was so good, I was thinking, I could be a sideshow in a circus right now. And I used to do that, and I felt like it was kind of mean at times, and my parents would go, "Stop showing Lucy her tail." But even as a young child, I was like, why does she do that? And the other question was, what is she going to do if she catches it? I mean, you ever feel like that? I mean, do you ever feel like that in life? I mean, have you ever had an honest moment in life going, what am I doing? What am I going to do if I actually accomplish what I'm chasing? Matter of fact, this series is entitled Focus, but I guess I should have entitled it How to Stop Chasing Your Tail. Matter of fact, maybe that may be what we call the message today. If you have titles that you would like to add to messages, you know, I pick them out on Sunday afternoon. I have no title for this message, so if you don't come up with anything better, it's going to be Stop Chasing Your Tail. But do you ever feel like you're chasing your tail? Like, what am I doing? Where am I headed? What's the point of all this? You ever have those moments? Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, it really kind of focuses in on that train of thought. And it tries to give us some purpose. It tries to get us focused in life on what God has for us in this world. And it's a far more than just chasing your tail. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we read these words. It says, "Therefore," in verse 1, "since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." That doesn't sound like tail chasing to me. It says in verse 2, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And the writer of Hebrews basically says, hey, life is like a race. And this race is a life of faithfulness. It's not about spinning in your place. It's about movement. It's about being obedient to God. And over again, we get that image in Scripture. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the first word is what? Therefore. Whenever you see that in the Bible, what it's telling you to do is look at what I just told you. And so you go back to Hebrews chapter 11. If you know about Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And it's a series of stories about people's lives. It says, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all these different people, Moses. And what it is the Hall of Fame of Faith, people who did more than chase their tail in life. And he's simply saying, listen, that life is a race, and it is a life of faithfulness that God calls you to. He uses this image of race because we can get that in our head. Paul used that same image over and over again. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." He says, listen, you're in a race. And this race is about God's agenda. And he's marked out the course. In that Hebrews chapter 12 passage, it says, let us run the race marked out for us. The definitive article, the before the word race, means that God's got a specific race for your life. So that should make you kind of back up and go, you know what? Not just in a new year, but every day am I running that race? Because the race he's marked out for you is about his agenda. It's intentionally marked out. It's not random. It's not spinning in circles. He marked out the course for your life. And here's the interesting thing. You and I, we don't make the course for our race. He does. The person sitting next to you does not make the race course for you. God does. And so it's not about looking around and going, let me look at your course, and let me look at your race, and I may want to run your race, and I like your race is interesting. No, this is a race that God has defined for you and for me. I don't know about you guys, but over the holidays, I saw these advertisements, and I completely forgot about this. The Olympics are coming. Where did that happen? How did that happen? Why were we not notified? But they're coming in February, the Winter Olympics. And so immediately my head goes to the Winter Olympics. I see these commercials starting advertising. The Winter Olympics are coming in Italy. And one of my favorite, I guess, races in the Winter Olympics is the cross-country skiing. Now, I don't ski. I don't run. I spin a lot of times. But anyway, but I love the cross-country skiing. And there's short races that are focused on speed. There's even one that's 31 miles long. Now, why anybody's doing that, I have no idea. But I can tell you this, that in each one of those, and those cross-country, they go up in the woods, and then they go through the stadium, they go back in the woods, they go down mountains, up mountains. But I tell you this, the course has already been set. As highly trained as they are, as great as they are, success will only be found in following the course. You don't make up your course. Winning, what Paul is trying to tell us and the writer of Hebrews is trying to tell us is that life is found in following the course. And so you kind of stop and go, what's my course? If God sets the course, then my focus needs to be on Him. If God sets the course, then guess what? When I don't like parts of the course, I need to talk to Him. I think sometimes when we go through life, and we look around, we kind of look at our life, and we look at other people's lives like, man, I want their life, I want their race, I want their course. One of the things you have to really land on in life is that God has a race for me, and He's determined the course for my life, and it may be different than the other person. And if you don't get that in your head, guess what? you become negative. You begin to whine about your race and your course, and your focus is not on God who's laid out your course. Now, here's the interesting thing. In that phrase, the race, let us run the race marked out for us. The word race there is a Greek word meaning agon, A-G-O-N, if you would transliterate it into our language, agon. It means not easy. It is the word we get our word agony from. And so as you think about this course and you think about this thing that God has laid out for you, if you don't understand this truth, we may be surprised by it. We may be overwhelmed by it because, hey, this is not the way I want it to go. This is not as easy as I thought it was going to be. Nowhere in God's word do you go, hey, man, if you'll just give your life to me, then it all gets easy. That's why a lot of people quit the race. That's why a lot of people are in the stands. You know why I'm not running? I mean, y'all know why I'm not running. It's hard. I'll cheer you on while you run. I ain't running. If I'm running, you need to check on me. Right? Why? One reason. It's hard. People who do run, people who are successful at running, they don't go, this is all very easy. No, it's hard. For some weird reason, they get into it. But in the Christian life, you don't have an option. Unless you just want to chase your tail. So when you think about the race that we're talking about and this focus, understand something. This is really, if you just get this in your head and I get this in my head, tomorrow morning is going to be different. To get up tomorrow morning and go, you know what? This is what I know about today. I know today I have a God-designed purpose. Every single day of my life, I can get up and go, you know what? Based on God's word, not what somebody told me, not what I just heard randomly, but based on God's word, I have a design purpose for my life. All through the Bible, it lays that out. In Psalm 139, listen to this. This is so foundational. We read these words. He says, in verse 16, the psalmist writes, he says, your eyes, talking about God, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God's got a design. He's got a plan. And that kind of focus, allows us to focus in on going, hey, listen, this is what God has for my life. If what I'm facing today moves me toward that, it's yes. If it moves me away from that, it's no. There's a passage in Ephesians chapter 2, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. In verse 10, it says, for we are God's handiwork. The word handiwork in the Greek is a word that we get our word poem from. It means that you are God's poem. You are his masterpiece. He's writing something today. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's a plan which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's writing a poem today. It's called your life. You're a masterpiece. He's putting something together. And so every day you get up and you got that in mind and you go, man, that's what my life is about. It's not random. It's not about your life. It's not about your life. It's about what God has designed for my life. And so you get up every day and go, listen, I know today that God has designed a purpose for my life. The second thing you can say is I know this, is that my God-designed purpose is about God, not about me. And this is where we get hung up. Because I'm about me about 365 days of the year. And you are too, not me, you. That's why in the Bible it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And it says, love your neighbor as your... So you're about you too. But see, if we're ever going to stop chasing our tail, we have to understand, I've got this God-designed purpose, but also that God-designed purpose is not about me, it's about God. Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, your name's not there. And when you go through the book of Genesis, there is order. There is order. There is order. There is order until what happens? Sin. And then what happens? Chaos. And the race got hard. And it got difficult. Because most of us, hey, let's be honest, we're having an honest moment here to kick off 2026. Most of us wake up in the morning and don't go, it's for my life. Yes, I'm ready. And we don't wake up and go, and God's got a purpose for my life and it's about him and not about me. We wake up in the morning on a happy quest, not a purpose quest. We wake up in the morning and go, what am I going to do today to make me feel the best about me today and my situation? And so we approach it all wrong. We're on a happy quest and we miss out on what God has for us. You say, does God not want me to have me happy? No, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. It's about our pursuit. It's about our focus. But in the beginning, God. And so God's really clear that I've got a design for your life, and that design is not about you, it's about me. And so, Jeff, it's not about your dream or your deal or your vision. It's about my dream, my deal, and my vision for you. And it's all about him. Colossians chapter 1 reminds us of that. It says, for in him, Jesus, for in him all things were created, things in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things, that would be all of us, all things have been created through him and for him. God doesn't make any junk, and he doesn't make anything without a purpose. And he made you for a purpose, and he made me for a purpose. And that purpose is about him and for his glory, but it's going to be for our good. Now, he says this race, he says it's a life of faithfulness, and it means you've got a purpose. And that purpose is about me and not about you, Jeff. And then he reminds us of this. When he says, let us run, he says that this race is about forward movement. The word run means to extreme measure, to move forward. It's all athletic imagery. When you see somebody, and you can watch the Olympics and just keep this in your mind, because this is all athletic Greek games imagery. And you see those folks running or whatever they're doing, skating, speed skating. It's ugly. It's extreme effort, extreme energy. When they get to the finish line, what do? They lean in. They're moving forward every single second. J. Vernon McGee says part of the Christians is this. Is that you got a story, you came to Jesus Christ, right? Come on. If you're saved, you say, this is when I came to Jesus Christ, and that's all you got. You got a salvation story, and that's where it stopped. You have nothing else to say about the race. Kind of like the little girl he says that fell out of her bed one night. Mom goes into her room and she's laying on the floor crying. Mom goes, "How did you fall out of your bed?" And she said, "I think I fell asleep too close to where I got in." In the Christian life, so many of us fall asleep too close to where we got in. Is your story, you know Jesus? I hope. But is that all your story? Do you not have parts of the race that you're running, the laps you've run, the difficulty you've faced? You see, we have a tendency to turn our attention to go, you know, where I am and what I'm doing is due to the circumstances and what's going on around me, and I intended to do this. Where you are today in your race has nothing to do with your circumstances, and it has nothing to do with your intentions. I've intended to run many times, and that's about as far as I got. You are where you are today because you decided your way there. There's one reason I don't run physically. I don't want to. Where you are today, you decided your way there. You didn't intend your way there. You decided your way there. That's the imagery of the race. A guy doesn't start the race and you watch the Olympics and he just stays at the finish line and everybody takes off and they're skiing their race and their cross-country race and he just stands there. He goes, "Well, I intend to go. I intend to finish. I intend to win." He just didn't decide to go. We fall asleep too close to where we got in. And so the race that God has called us to is about forward movement. What do we say all the time here? We are a movement of Jesus followers. And the movement what? Moves. It moves. So how do you move? Well, I mentioned Matthew 22, 37 a minute ago where it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength." And then it says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." I think two things that you can do today to move is make the decision in your race, where you are, wherever you are, doesn't matter, to say, "I'm going to move toward God." That's the first movement. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? So you're moving toward him. And so you ask yourself the question, am I moving toward God? How do I do that? Here's the interesting thing. For you to move toward God, you have to do something just the opposite than what our head tells us. He said, "Well, I came to church. I started the year off in church." Your movement toward God starts with you being still. Isn't this the weirdest thing? Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." A lot of us, the last kind of week or two has been a little different than normal, right? School's been out. You maybe had some work time off, and your head is going to tomorrow morning, right? What? We about to start chasing our tail again tomorrow morning, right? Come on, let's go. And that's the way we kind of work, man. And so once we start, it's on then. It's on like Donkey Kong. We're ready. But the only way you move toward God is to be still regularly. Because only in the moments of stillness, when do you hear from him? Only in moments of stillness are you going to look into his word, into his truth, because this life, this race is about obedience as well. You look into his word and being still and go, "God, I want to be different. And how will I be different based on what I just read today?" Matter of fact, for 2026, you're going to hear me talk about this. I challenge you to pick out a theme verse for 2026. We're going to talk about this. So she's like, "I'm not doing it." You're going to get tired of hearing me talking about it. Because I want you to pick out a thing. You don't have to do it this week, next week. You don't have to do it this month. This is not a resolution, because we would break that. But this is about a decision to go, "I'm going to look into God's word." It may take a month or so. But I'm going to look into God's word, and God, I want something to be placed in my heart that's going to be my guide, one thing that's going to be my guide for this year. Maybe those of you who have young children, I'd challenge you to have a family verse and get all your kids to memorize it. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to preach some of your memory verses in 2026. So be ready when I come up to you and go, hey, what's your memory verse? I want to preach from it. And you go, Jesus wept. Right? So let's do that. So in this decision to move toward God, first of all, I'm going to be still regularly. The second thing I'm doing is I'm going to turn my attention to Scripture. I'm going to say, God, how will I be different today based on what I just read? Third thing is this, is you're going to spend time talking and listening to God. It's called prayer. Part of listening to God is being still. Part of listening to God is talking to him as well in prayer and see what he says back. You know, in February, we have P28 where we focus in on prayer, and every day at 1 o'clock, if you want it, you'll get a text message to remind you about to pray about one thing for 1 minute at 1 p.m. So 1 p.m. every day in February, you get that text message. You've been around here, you know this. Why don't we start early? Just start early. To say, I'm going to be still regularly. I'm going to look into God's word. I'm going to talk to God about something, and I'm going to listen to God. Because in listening to him, you may just find out what your race is. Matter of fact, that's the only way you're going to find out about what your race is. Make the decision in your stillness that you're going to worship in that moment, not just in this moment. You'd say, I'd worship him more if Mason would just come to my house and lead everything. Or if Mason was there at the breakfast table, we'd all worship. He's not coming, by the way. But you can worship individually. And in that stillness, you just, hey, your agenda and your race is not about me, it's about you, and I want to be obedient to you. And so in making these decisions, you're moving toward God. And the second thing that happens when you want to move in this race, you're not moving in the race that God has for you if you're not moving toward him, and you're not moving in the race he has for you, and I don't know exactly what your race is if you're not moving toward other people. He said, the greatest commandment is you love me. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And so I know your race is about moving toward other people. And so you just simply ask yourself, am I moving toward others? Am I moving toward others in my service? Am I moving toward others in my communication, in my community? And so then you get to the end of each day. And as the writer William Barclay said, you end each day asking the question, am I any further along? Am I any further along? John Gordon has a book entitled, basically a notebook, My Successes. And so you end each day of the year writing your successes for that day. And every day he has the habit of writing his successes for that day in his notebook. And it's just answering the question, am I any further along or am I just chasing my tail? God's got a race for you. It's about moving forward. And your race, whatever it is, I have no idea what it is. It's about you making the most of the opportunity that God has given you for his glory. Whatever it is. It's about you making the most of the opportunity God's given you. You don't have to make the most of the opportunity he's given me. And I'm not worried about making the most of the opportunity he gives you. But you and I have to make the most of the opportunities that God gives us, not for our good, not for my enjoyment, not for our makes me happy. It's about him. Ephesians chapter 5 puts it this way. Paul, who's running the race, he says, be very careful. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And wise simply means living life from God's viewpoint. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The word opportunity in that verse 16 comes from one of two words. There are two words for time in the New Testament. There's one called chronos, which means marking time. And there's one called kairos, which means basically seizing the moment. That's the word opportunity that's used there is kairos. So today in your life, in my life, we're either marking time, you're chasing your tail, or you're seizing the moment. Doesn't get any easier than that to figure out. Because it doesn't matter what you think today, no matter what you believe today, you can honestly look in the mirror today and say, I'm seizing the moment, or unfortunately, I'm just marking time.